This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Thank you for downloading this edition of Cook the Perfect. For more information, go to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4.
Yotam Okalenghi is here, and he is the co-author of a new book entitled Sweet. But you're here today to make the perfect rolled pavlova. Yotam, I have to say...
So.
Well, yeah, I know. It all looks lovely, and the ingredients look fantastic. But I have to say, I mean, pavlova is meringue. I mean, I can make hardly any puddings, but pavlova is one of the ones that I roll out occasionally. But I wouldn't dream of actually rolling it, because surely it would break, crumble.
Yeah,
am I doing it wrong?
I mean, you're right in a sense, but Andrea, there's ways around it. And I think one of these kind of incredible desserts, which involve fruit, cream, and meringue, could actually turn into something that looks completely different. So what we do is we bake a meringue that has some vinegar and some corn flour in it, just a little bit. It doesn't affect the flavor, but then you can actually roll it like a sponge. So you get a roulade that is actually made out of a meringue, and it tastes just absolutely divine. It's so good.
Wow.
And it looks also amazing.
We're used to you having little twists and doing something a little bit different. Is this a regular filling? Is there anything different about this?
Well, actually, the beautiful thing about this pavlova is that you can actually fill it up with whatever you like. So it's hyper seasonal. You can use it any time of the year, with poached fruit, with fresh fruit, with nuts. Really, anything goes. Because I mean, what can go wrong with meringue and some fruit and cream? I mean, we all know how good it is.
If you're me, quite a lot can probably go wrong. If you're you, I doubt it. Well, look, we're looking forward to it later on. Thank you very much indeed. And Yotam will be working away in the corner of the studio. And now, while we've been on air, busy in the studio have been Yotam Okalenghi and Helen Goh, and they've collaborated on a new book entitled Sweet, and they are making a rolled pavlova. And we're here at just the right time, because you're about to roll, right?
Yeah, we're just about to do that. We're just whisking some cream and getting it to the right consistency.
So I've just inverted this.
And so the pavlova itself is basically a big flat rectangle, and you're convinced that it's going to roll without cracking, are you? Because I would worry that it would just be too brittle.
I have to admit, there's always a moment making this when you think, oh, it's not going to work this time, but it's never not worked for me.
Okay, so Helen, what are your tips then for making this perfect meringue that will roll?
Well, I think one of the things that's distinct with this pavlova, first of all, as you said, it's cooked in a flat sheet. But the other thing is, with the addition of corn flour, it keeps a little bit of vinegar. It keeps the centre sort of a marshmallowy consistency. So you get a lovely crust on top on the exterior, and then inside it's sort of fluffy, and that's what makes it rollable.
Okay, so
we're just going to actually spread the cream over the back side of the opposite side of the meringue sheet. And the beautiful thing you're talking about, not it cracking, you actually want it to crack.
Want it to crack on the outside, just not completely.
Yeah. You want to see this beautiful cracking. I'll let you carry on.
Finish it off.
On the outside, it's really evocative. I mean, we all look at meringues and we just love them because it's got that kind of crunchy, crackly effect. And this is exactly that thing, but in a rolled format.
You know, so many of us know your sort of your Middle Eastern recipes and your very well-known cookbooks. Why have you decided to do one now that's all about puddings?
Well, part of what we do, what we have done over the years is in the Ottolenghi delis is desserts, sweets. And you always need to remember that that is really the way I've kind of been trained is in the sweet department. So you know we've done that and then all over the years I've always wanted to do a sweet book. It's just been postponed and then but Helen and I have been working together for so long making cakes, tasting cakes
for about 11 years. Helen, why decide to do a book now?
Well, I think your Tom's always busy doing some other book, so this was a moment we could, you know.
So you're now putting, are those peaches or nectarines?
They're sliced peaches. You could put nectarines. In fact, one of the lovely things about this is that it is so versatile. You could put any fruit, really. And what's nice about this time of the year, you've got the peaches just going out and the blackberries coming in, so
we've got some blackberries here. Which add colour, they add flavour. They just, you know, you could, for this one, you can really use whatever's in season. In the summer, we use more berries. In the winter, we use more stone fruit, or in the autumn, more stone fruit. And if you do it in winter, you might use citrus, dried fruit, nuts, anything goes, really.
Even poached quinces, you know, with almonds would be really delicious.
Helen, your background is that you came from a Chinese family, grew up in Malaysia, and then you worked and lived for a long time in Australia.
That's right, yes.
I mean, I spend a lot of time living in Asia as well, and you know, Chinese don't really grow up eating an awful lot of puddings and desserts.
That's
so
true.
Was it Australia that gave you the interest in puddings?
Yes, I would say so. Although I come from a Malaysian Chinese family, and there's a tradition of cake making called kuih. They're very different. It's not. They're usually steamed, and they use rice flour. So very different. But my mother, I mean, growing up, she used the oven for storing sort of smelly things like anchovies, dried fish, and pots and pans. Yeah. So I don't think she ever baked a cake as when I was little.
Okay, so I think you're at the crucial moment now. It looks beautiful the way it is, actually.
Well, yes, if you really lose your nerve at the last minute, you could just serve it like that. So it's just that flat
we always say, if it doesn't work, just throw it into a bowl and turn it into a mess.
Yeah.
You've got the meringue, you've got the cream.
So you do have to sort of, just take a deep breath and just, you know, feel confident.
So you're using the tea towel underneath the whole thing.
And you can see, actually, it's crackling. I'm not sure if you can hear it, but it sort of crackles on the outside.
It's also
rolling up very nicely. So you use your tea towel as a kind of guide. And once you see it starting to take shape, just remove the tea towel. Or you could actually still just use it and just carefully roll it up.
It's so scary, but it always works.
But it always works. Let me just get it onto the plate, and then we can say that it's never not worked.
So you're rolling. So you're basically creating effectively a Swiss roll.
Yeah.
Yes.
With meringue.
Exactly.
It's a roulade.
It's
really.
Yeah. Just roll
and,
it up.
The beautiful thing about it as well that is it's just some kind of something that you could have. You can make the meringue a day or two in advance.
In fact, it's preferable to make the meringue a day or two in advance
and have it ready to be rolled for. You know, it's for entertaining. It just sits there on the side of the counter. You get your fruit, you chop it up, you whip your cream, and it's ready within minutes, like we're doing now. It's so simple.
And would you put anything on top, or just leave it?
Yes, we're going to finish it off.
We're going to do a big reveal in a second.
An Ottolenghi cake is not an Ottolenghi cake till it's had its dressing. Actually, probably the most nerve-wracking moment is actually transferring it to the plate. And at this stage, I always think, it's my baby, because you sort of cradle it in your arms a bit.
So it's basically a meringue cylinder, and it's currently wrapped in in the tea towel.
It's just like you've got a newborn here, and you're just going to transfer it onto this platter here. And see, it's easy.
With a tea towel.
The tea towel.
And then you lift up the towel.
I wouldn't say maybe it's not your firstborn, maybe secondborn. When you're feeling confident, then you can just do that manoeuvre. Here we go, let's just peel.
I like this metaphor.
Yeah, I always think of it as like a baby, because like you're really cradling it. There we go.
Yeah.
It's on. Look how easy that was.
Your son, we're used to, in your cooking, finding ingredients that we haven't had before, you know, pomegranate molasses and za'atar and rose water and things. When you come to puddings, is it the same? Are there things that we're not going to have used before that we might have to use?
Yeah, I mean, I think more things that are not necessarily traditionally used in the sweet department. So, you know, certain spices that we love using are often more associated with the savory food. Things like cardamom, like star anise, all those. You know, actually, any spice can be used in a dessert. So we use those. There will still be pomegranate seeds, pomegranate molasses.
Okay. And so now you just slice it up and eat it.
We just top it up with the fruit and then, yeah, slice
so
it up and eat it.
If you put a bit of cream on top, that helps to sort of anchor the fruit on top.
Lovely. I have to admit to everybody listening that I'm now eating this pavlova, which is absolutely delicious. So I'll try to stop eating long enough to talk to you a little bit more. The pavlova itself is chewy and gorgeous. How do you make it like that? Helen, I remember as a kid, without an electric whisk, just with a hand whisk, whisking and whisking and sort of saying to my mum, are they done yet? And she'd say, no, keep going. How do you know when those egg whites are ready?
Well, traditionally, I think that the trick is to upturn the ball over your head. And if it doesn't land on your head, then it's ready.
That's a risky strategy.
Yes, well, we don't recommend that.
Makes you keep whisking, right?
You'll know the whisking starts to become quite laboured. The mixture is very glossy and very shiny, very stiff. And that's when you know it's ready.
But you would never make this pavlova by hand. It would take a whole day's worth of whisking.
Yes,
right?
It would make something very simple and joyous to something quite tedious.
So these days we just use the old electric whisk, right?
The electric whisk, absolutely. Yes, perfect.
And what about what we put inside? Because we made fresh fruit today, but actually there's lots of options.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that we love about this is the endless variations. I mean, we've done peach and blackberry today that happen to be in season. But you could berries is the obvious go-to in summertime. Or you could put poached quinces.
Poached pears.
Mm. You could actually, if you wanted to, I mean, I could go on talking, you could put cocoa powder instead of the corn flour and give it a slightly chocolatey flavour, and that would go really beautifully with poached pears.
Or you were saying to get a jar of good lemon curd, mix it with cream.
Yeah, and whip it up with cream, and then you'll have a sort of very zesty, lemony roulade.
Lovely with raspberries or just
blackberry. Blueberries I love with lemon.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
Helen, I'm interested just a little bit in your background and what you do now, because although many of us know Yotam, and both because he's appeared quite a lot on Radio 4 and also through your books, but Helen, you've been working with Yotam for over 10 years.
Yes, 11 years, exactly.
And you do menu development. Tell me a little bit about what that entails.
Well, it's more recipe development.
Right, recipe development.
What
is that?
Well, I used to sort of contribute all kinds of different things, whether it's a canapé for a special function or salads in the store, just sort of recipes that, to kind of put an Ottolenghi twist to a recipe. And I always think that people don't want something terribly exotic. They want something that tastes good, but also something unexpected as well. So I try to strike that balance between sort of new and old.
If you're making something new and experimental, clearly sometimes it doesn't work. Is that right?
Absolutely. So yes, that happens all the time.
You all taste it, do you, and decide whether you like it or not?
Well, I think if I like it, then the next port of call is Yotam.
Okay.
And if he likes it, we may give it another two or three trials. Usually he'll want to put another extra thing to it. That's Yotam's style.
I'm famous for my long ingredient list, right?
But it is also, he's added, his little extra thing is also usually the thing that makes it. So it's always very interesting to take it to him. And then if he likes it we take it to several other testers and make sure that they can replicate it and that it tastes fabulous.
Mm-hmm. And it ends up in a book. But I think also what Helen does very well is the hard grind of testing and testing and testing and getting it just right, because baking is a science and you really want your sponge to be perfect. Mm. You really want the cake to rise perfectly. You want all those kind of little things that make for a perfect cake or for a perfect pudding.
I did want to ask you about that, because it's actually what scares me most about baking.
Yeah.
Is that when I love actually making your recipes, and I quite like that, the kind of free and easy style of cooking where there's quite a lot of room for error or I suppose you could call it inventiveness. And that doesn't really exist with baking, does it? So if you get the wrong ingredients and just in the exact slightly wrong measure or the wrong temperature or something, the whole thing's a disaster. That puts people off, doesn't it?
It is more difficult to rectify a cake that has gone wrong, but it's not it's not quite the end of the world. Like Helen was saying during the show, mentioned the fact that if you've rolled this pavlova and it, you muck it up, you can actually turn this into a beautiful mess and throw it all in a bowl, garnish it with something, and then it's a pudding that you serve at the table in the beautiful bowl. So there are situations where you could fix things, but yeah, that you could burn a cake, or you, and then there's no.
Actually, I see it quite differently because I, when I started as an insecure, unconfident chef, I think what I what drew me to baking was this idea that actually there are guidelines and strict principles, and if you follow that, you'll get it right. And within that, you can play around with flavors. It's like with the pavlova; we've given you a recipe that we know is absolutely foolproof if you follow. You know, follow the instructions. And within that, you can play around, as we said, add nuts, you know, vary the fruit. So I think there's a huge scope for inventiveness within the kind of the structure of the particular recipe.
But so stick to the recipe. I mean, a lot of people actually like the safety that if they
follow
every step, then it actually works.
Yes. There is a recipe, and then there's all the variation around it, because you could be quite inventive with the icing or with a glaze. You can be inventive with what you serve with it. But for a good sponge or for a good cake, you really do need to follow the recipe.
Yes.
Okay. Good advice. Yotam and Helen, thank you both very much indeed.
Pleasure. Thank you for having us.
You can download any edition of Cook the Perfect by going to the Woman's Hour website at bbc.co.uk/radio4.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.